go. Thank you. Well, how nice is this that all of us can worship and get together this morning and humble ourselves before the Lord as a combined service together. And then, of course, we're going to break bread directly following this. And if you can smell it already, which I can when I was upstairs here, it's really starting to smell good. So I want to say thank you to the choir, the band, everybody that put stuff together for this morning, the setter-uppers of the dining room and all that. We're just happy that you guys took part in that. And then, of course, those of you that made some goodies for us to eat later on, we're happy. This is the day the Lord has made, so we're going to rejoice. We're going to celebrate in it, and we're going to start off first with our memory verse. It's the last time we'll be reading this verse together for this month. And then we move on to a new verse coming up in October. So here we go. We say the scripture reference, the verse, and then the reference again. Lamentations 5:19. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Lamentations 5:19. Now, I'm sure you saw the bulletin cover. We're going to be talking about tattoos today. And before we do that, I stumbled across a really neat story out of, I think it's Eau Claire. And Lena, you know, she was all excited when spring came around. And, you know, spring cleaning, that's the time for her to get ready and get stuff ready for the summer to do some home improvements in the summer. And she reminded Ollie. And she said, Ollie, do you remember, last summer how you carpeted the bathroom? It just looks so nice. And Ollie says, well, yeah, Lena, those Lowe's professionals, you know, down the road right outside of Eau Claire, they know what they're doing. They set us up with a great carpet, good color scheme and stuff like that. You know, it was the first time I ever laid carpet and in the bathroom yet. And I thought it sure looked good. You still like it, don't you? Well, Lena said, well, yeah, for sure, Ollie. But how about this summer we carpet all the way up to the house? Again, usually those have nothing to do with the message. But remember what we learned a couple weeks ago about laughter and about smiling. God designed us in such a way that when we laugh, when we smile, it creates that serotonin and endorphins kick in and people start smiling and all those things work against depression and stress and all that. It gives us this feeling that life is pretty good when we laugh. And certainly we have learned that we are too blessed to be stressed. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, as we get into your word today, as we talk about some interesting things from your good book, would you fill this place with your joy? Just a great sense of joy, knowing that you're here with us, your Holy Spirit is in the hearts and lives of your people here. And Lord, maybe today, just maybe today, would you work on each of our lives, and may someone come to know you today or be drawn closer to you by what we talk about, the things we pray about, and the things we do today. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to share with you some pretty good news. I think it's really good news. Hopefully it's going to lift your spirit as we go throughout the day this morning or the morning. But first, there's an honesty moment. Now, this is an honesty moment. This is a show of hands. How many of you out there read the recent Family Ties article that came out? Wow. Okay, that's pretty good. How many of you did not? That's fine. I know that means you don't like me, but that's all right. How many of you really don't care? One. Two. Wow. Man. Okay. Please put more in the offering plate as you leave today. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you out there have a tattoo? Okay. We've got some honest people. How many of you out there have a tattoo but aren't admitting to it? Okay. Well, you know, a tattoo is really an ink-laden scar. That's kind of really what it is. Has anybody thought about it before that doesn't have a tattoo? Okay. So, you know, our son Josh, it looks like he'll be heading out into the Air Force in December. And so as a family, we decided, you know, what do you do when that happens? We decided to break down as a family and endure the pain and decided to tat up for his celebration. Josh won't be with us today because he's out climbing some mountain somewhere and he's on his way back home. But I haven't taken off my jacket for a while, but I figured I'd reveal to you what I had done. And I decided I might as well get a tat as well. And this is just part of it. The rest of it goes all the way up, and then I'll be having the other arm done later on. Now, if you think this is bad, wait till you see Josh's. If you'll notice, Stacy, Allison, and Michael are wearing long sleeves today. So you might want to check that out and see what's going on. But there is a true story, not that this isn't true, there is a true story. I told someone years ago that I was going to get a tattoo, and they said, seriously now, they were talking with me seriously, they said that if I were to do that, they were not going to come back to church. Get your Bibles and look at Isaiah chapter 49 for a moment. There's some really good, wonderful, great stuff going on in the book of Isaiah. And I want to set the stage for you before this reading. Now, Judy read it for us. We're going to hit a couple different verses in that. So I'll set the stage. In a nutshell, Israel was doing this idol worship thing. They kind of always got into that. They got away from God. They started worshiping other idols and all those sorts of things. They were blind and deaf, paying attention not to God, but to other distractions. That's what the Bible tells us. They were unfaithful to God, many times forgetting that their only Savior was and is God. And that's why they got to hang out in Babylon for quite a while. Why their city was eventually destroyed. Why they were taken captive. Now God, through Isaiah, calls them stubborn. In chapter 48, we're in chapter 49, but he calls them stubborn people. And usually, or a lot of times, he will call them stiff-necked people. Now, when we think about that, is that us sometimes? Very stubborn, very stiff-necked, not only when it comes to relationships between one another, but between our relationship with God. I'm sure many times he has called me stubborn, or, man, that stubborn Dave, just got to knock him on the head again. Wake him up a little bit. It's me. It's you. So God here is always, what God always wants is his people to come back home. Come on back home. And in this case, he wanted the Israelites to come home. Not only because he loved them, but he wanted to make them a light unto the Gentiles. Jewish folks already believed in God. Now God has wanted them to go out and reach us, those of us that were not Jewish or Israelites, the Gentile, and that his salvation would reach to the ends of the earth. That's what he wanted his folks to do. He wanted them to come back, let's get the lights going again, let's reach out to the rest of the world. In chapter 49, starting in verse 8, we come to this, what's called the prophesied restoration of Israel, where God would do this. He would bring his people back home. And so God promises to restore the land. And here's what we read in verse 10. It says, God, who has compassion on them, will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. Wow, I like that. That should remind you of another scripture in the Old Testament. God, there's something about water, there's something about springs and all that sort of stuff that draws us back to God or refreshes us in some way. You might remember Psalm 23, where King David says that God makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters where he refreshes my soul. So even here in Isaiah, God is calling back his people to be refreshed with his water. So we get back to Isaiah. The Israelites are then told to rejoice along with the heavens. I'm going to restore you. I'm bringing you back. You're going to have some water. And in the Bible tells us that they are to burst into song with the heavenly host. And they do that because God has compassion on the afflicted ones. So Israel has been bruised and hurt, mistreated by another nation, by many nations at many times. And God now is going to step in, he says, with compassion. Bring these folks home. Give them the water. And he's kind of saying, listen, I know you guys have gone through some tough times, but return back to me. And I think God says the same thing to us, each and every one of us. How many of us have walked away from God? And still, even though we may consider ourselves very strong in faith, how many times do we still keep walking away from God? Even if it's just a little step away. I'm sure we do it all the time. It may be like you have failed at something. Or you feel ashamed of your life. Maybe it's money issues, bitterness, or stress, or maybe some kind of addictions or whatever. Maybe your marriage is faltering and you've lost a loved one. Because of those things, maybe, like the Israelites, we have been flat out stubborn and not wanted to come back home. Well, God wants to restore you, and he wants to restore me. A lot of times we are like the Israelites, and we say the exact same thing the Israelites said. In verse 14, it says, God, you have forsaken me. Or the Israelites are basically saying, God, you have forsaken us. You have forgotten us. Well, God made a promise. In verse 15, he actually made it way before that in time, but he made a promise in verse 15. He says, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. So God never forgets you. He never forgot the Israelites. He still doesn't forget the Israelites. He's never forgotten you. He never will forget you. Even if you think that, it's too bad. He's just not going to forget about you. God doesn't walk away from us, ever. We choose to walk away. God doesn't walk away from us. God is compassionate, willing and able to bring us back and to restore us. Now, I just love that because I am such a mess up myself, right? We all have to admit that. We all mess up. Now, here is how God proved that he would not forget the Israelites. Verse 16 says, see, I won't forget you because I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. That is a huge picture of a tattoo of all of Israel in the hands of God. And you got to know, God engraved all of us, every single one of us, including Israel. He engraved us on the palms of his hands. And I have to think that had to hurt an awful lot. All the suffering and everything the Israelites did and the way they turned against God, it had to hurt God because God's a jealous God. But yet he engraved all of Israel in the palms of his hand. What is a tattoo? Well, people get them to remember something special or someone special. So why would God do that for Israel? Because they're his. They're special. Now, some folks, right, in our world will put bad things on as tattoos. But God's is a tattoo of love. Here is God showing the Israelites in the palms of his hands who they are and where they are to be. He is saying, you are mine. I will never forget you. I love you so much that you are tattooed on my hands. Now, I want you to understand, as a believer, as somebody who believes in Jesus Christ, you are part of that family that has been tattooed into God's palm. You are part of Abraham's family, Isaac's family, Jacob's family. You are part of that family. You might want to jot this down. In fact, I got to see if I have it here. In here. Galatians, if you would. Galatians 3:29. Well, actually, I wrote it here. Galatians 3:29. And I have to admit, you know, the first time I read this verse, this isn't the first time ever, but first time I read this verse for the message, in terms of being tattooed on the palms of God's hands, I teared up because there's no way we deserve it. There's just no way that we deserve it. Here's what it says. It says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Remember, Abraham's part of Isaac and Jacob's family, and heirs according to the promise. Wow. We are so tattooed, we are now heirs according to the promise. And do you realize this means that God has not and never will forget you as you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that he will bring you to restoration. The promise is yours. Eternal life is yours. Look at the end of Isaiah chapter 49. After restoration and the rebuilding of the family, defeating Israel's opponent, God says in verse 26, chapter 49, verse 26, says, all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, I am your Redeemer, and I am the Mighty One of Jacob, the Mighty One of Israel, in the palm of his hand, right? So then you start thinking, Savior, Redeemer, Mighty One. This is God in the Old Testament. Do we know somebody in the New Testament that can claim those titles? Of course we do. That's Jesus Christ. For the Christian, God took things a step further than the Old Testament. The same God who had all of Israel tattooed on the palm of his hands, he became one of us as Jesus. And he carried all our shame, guilt, sin, all of that to the cross, and once again was tattooed, wasn't he? And this time he felt it as like a human being. He was engraved upon. He was scarred, pierced, nails, hands, feet, side, his back covered with tattoos given to him by a whip. You see, God took our curse upon himself, and marked hands and feet bear witness that that happened. In a sense, we were written into the palms of his hands because of our own stubbornness. But with those same scarred hands and feet, the back, his side, he invites us back, always. For he defeated the grave, and of course now offers eternal life. So Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of what God was doing in the Old Testament for the Israelites. And as Christians, we have been tattooed into God's palms twice, the way I see it. Once as part of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's family, because we're grafted into that tree. And then once as Jesus was nailed to the cross. Now, Jesus today could very easily hold out the palms of his hands and say to us what God said to the Israelites in the Old Testament. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. He did that with Thomas, didn't he? He loves us that much that he's willing to make that kind of sacrifice. Now, without those marks, those ugly yet beautiful scars and tattoos, there would be no Savior, there would be no Redeemer, there would be no Mighty One, and there would be no restoration. But today, there is all of that and much more. John chapter 10. If you want to take a look at it real quickly. John chapter 10. Starting in verse 27. Says, my sheep listen to my voice. Now this is Jesus talking. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. You're etched into the palms of God's hands. That's cool. That's really neat to think about. I was just talking to somebody this morning, telling them what we're talking about. They were thinking of having a little etching of someone they loved. It's kind of the same thing, except God did his through sacrifice, the sacrifice of his Son. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for restoration, for engraving us into your palms twice. Once as a kind of newly family member of the Israelites, Jacob's family, and then, of course, through those nail marks for forgiveness of sin. Lord Jesus, maybe there is someone here today who doesn't know you, or someone who needs prayer, or just needs a hug, maybe a smile. Would you give us the courage to smile and to hug? And then would you give those folks courage to say yes to you and find that restoration in you? Open them up to being loved and filled with your joy, and give someone the courage just to say yes, maybe if it's even to baptism. But more than anything, Lord, we want everyone in this house to know you and throughout our community and throughout the world. And so we give ourselves to you this morning. And then in our time of offering this morning, we give thee but thine own, as the hymn says. And we ask that through our generosity, through our giving, that you will cause us to be that light in the world that you always wanted the Israelites to be. Help us to take up that light, follow you, and be your disciples. In Jesus' name we pray.